Welcome everyone to the Unlocked Basketball Podcast presented by Locked In Basketball with your host, myself, Alex Wilson today. Today's podcast is going to be a little different to the way we've released them in the last four podcasts. We've had coaches, we've had players from all different levels and sharing their experience. But today we want to change the structure and give more substance to the podcast and allow the guests we have on in the future to show off from their experience or use their experience adequately to answer questions or theme relevant to helping you guys in basketball, coaching, playing, whatever that might be. So I'm going to present to you guys a topic related to team sports or basketball in particular. And then from then on, we're going to be readdressing it with our guests for the next 3 weeks. And then every month, we're going to have a different theme to the month. So it could be potentially communication, or it could be how to lead a team and so on from there. So I'm going to start off probably introducing myself, which I haven't done in the past. Give myself a little bit of credibility in basketball. So I coach currently over at Kilsyth Basketball with their under 16 boys program, as well as the Big V youth assistant coach for the men's there, as well as previously for the last 2 years, the NBL 1 assistant coach for the men's. I've coached at multiple schools and so on. I currently coach at the Strathcona Girls Grammar in Canterbury as a coach, part-time coach there, as well as also running my own business of skill development, which, as you may know already, is Locked In Basketball. I got club coaching accreditation through Basketball Victoria, association coaching accreditation also through Basketball Victoria, as well as Bachelor of Sport Coaching and Sport Science at Victoria University. So I get asked all the time, or I tell people about my degree and people don't really know what it means. So sport coaching, sport science, sure, that sounds appealing to some, to others have no clue. Some pretend to have a clue, but don't really. So I'd like to further elaborate on what that means or what that degree means. So it covers quite a broad thing over 4 years, obviously specific to coaching. So the things that we'll cover is building and sustaining sport participation, ethical behavior in sport, strength and conditioning, athlete nutrition, sport psychology, applied kinesiology, applied physiology, biomechanical application, human physiology, sport coaching principles, talent and talent identification. Over the last 4 years of anyone that's also done a degree or been through the university, you do multiple studies, research, and how tedious it can be at the time of researching, reading books, and so on. So I'd like to share that with you today with a specific topic, which I'll get to a little later on. And then so once we have that topic for the month, we'll then keep revisiting with our guests using their experience or if they've had an informal training on so on, however they wish to, and we'll go from there. And hopefully that'll provide an extra resource for you coaches out there, even players. It could be quite beneficial of something you can listen to, learn about a person, as well as use their experience to answer some questions that might be that you never knew, never thought of, or having trouble with, or maybe just reinforce what you already know. I can't predict that for you, but hopefully you guys enjoy it. And also, and then at the end, we'll be doing, as you might have seen on our social media, is the fire away questions, where you can send in your questions regarding anything, whether basketball related, business related, or personal related. We want to know a little bit more about me. So I'll be answering the ones that got filed in the last couple of days there, which is a bit of fun. Sometimes there's some serious questions and there's some not so serious questions, which is fine, which provides a bit of fun to the podcast as well. The topic for the month, also, before I get started as well, if there's any topic you want to hear in the following month, please, please, please send it in, email me or contact me in any way, shape or form. You can contact me through Instagram, Facebook, email, or directly through the website at lockedinbasketball.com.au. I want to hear if you have any questions or a topic suggestion. I've done research or assignments at quite a few different topics and everything, and I can't wait to share it with you guys, and hopefully it's advantageous. So today's topic, or this month's topic, I should say, is on-court communication breakdown, structured with a case study, and then we go on from there. So the case study is, you take a newly appointed team, they've been playing local competition for the last 6 weeks without a coach. By observing them, you notice several things about their performance. basic skill levels aren't so good. Two players call shots for the team. When under pressure, a player appears to panic and gets roasted as well as name-called by another player. After the opposition is on a scoring streak, team gets flat-footed and demotivated. After games, all members go their separate ways. The team captain claims they choke against inferior teams often. Main issues within the team is two players call the shots rather than the captain. Not supportive of each other, lacking encouraging a leader, and lack of confidence in themselves and each other, and they do not seem to handle pressure. So, a strategy that you could face to improve this would be improve motivation. How would you improve motivation? Well, one of the ways you can improve it is set realistic goals. For example, you wouldn't be asking an under-12s team, and going, all right, we're going to be running this, this, and this, and at this rate, with this many passes, it's just not going to happen. So, introducing a goal that isn't difficult, but attainable is the key. Would increase the challenge, making it clear what was expected from them. Once again, communicating to them, making it clear, and making it that each person understands of what the goal is. And agree on a goal as well. It's a two-way street on that front. Also, from studies have shown that probability that performance increase after a goal has been set is above 90%, which is phenomenal. So you set a mutual goal that everyone agrees on, all of a sudden it increases up to 90%. You also have to find with your players, team, or whoever it might be, that everyone operates differently. It's on extrinsic and intrinsic motivation. So extrinsic is an external motivating factor. So someone that could be motivated by money, for instance, or by winning, or by other people telling them, giving them pep talks and so on. Intrinsic is quite the opposite. It's an internal motivation of a person. So therefore, they don't rely on the external factors so much. For instance, they'll be motivated each morning to get up and have a goal in mind. They'd be like, all right, I've got to be the best today, or got to get better. So then that'll be their number one motivation. Don't get me wrong. You're not one or the other. You're not an intrinsic motivator or an extrinsic motivator. But you just have a major driving factor for each person, which will dominate their motivation. For instance, an intrinsic motivator will rely on their self-motivation a lot more than the external pressures. And an extrinsic driver would be someone relying a bit more on that external pressure. So a strategy that could be used, possibly, is increase clarity and performance is obviously the goal to improving the team. So the first step could be define the role of each player. So that could be introducing a goal that is difficult but attainable would increase the challenge, making it clear what was expected from them. Once again, visiting the probability that performance increase after a goal has been set is above 90%. So we're increasing, making it clear what the team is after. The hardest thing that personally I've found, and also you see in professional sports as well, is maintaining the goal for the whole season. The seasons vary at what level you play at, and how often you play and how blurred the lines can get. The external factors always play a role, always, even up to the professional, semi-professional, or junior level. So being able to manage and keep it on track. So you may have regular meetings to keep players on track or remind everyone, but at the same time the coach needs to keep on track. You can't set a theme for the year and hope it works sort of thing, or forget about it after the week one. The common one, or one that was used in quite a horror profile documentary, was The Last Dance, which was a Michael Jordan spotlight on his career, and for their final year Phil Jackson used The Last Dance. That was It's going out with a bang. That was their theme for the year. And so that was underlining everything they did. If you've read his book, called 11 Rings by Phil Jackson, each year he makes an effort to a goal that would be, or a theme you could say, that is applicable to everyone on the team. And then that's the underlying factor of the year. And everyone knows it from the start, but it's been consistent. Every time. You don't need to go hammering it in every single training or whatever, then they'll get sick of it and they'll potentially start to rebel on it. So a theme or a goal is an early way to get everyone that everyone agrees on as well. You practice game sense and players being encouraged into each other. How do you gauge all this? Would be through KPIs. So feedback, talking to a player or performance, you'll see their statistics probably possibly drop or increase as a team or personally. So you can, there's some direct feedback there, or some external factors. If you're at a higher level, you'll have general managers or presidents or other coaches will be able to give you some feedback. That's if you have that sort of relationship, of course. Next strategy could be to improve player relationships. Create social situations to engender team bonding. Make something to have in common. Social cohesion includes members' feelings about their social interactions, includes personal acceptance with the team and athletes, and feelings about the degree to which the team is seen as a social unit. Got a huge amount of experience in this, but from what the Barstool I've seen, you can really see the winning teams are the ones that usually understand each other's roles and genuinely get along. If not, you don't have to genuinely get along every team, but at least pretend to, which relationships is a big one of building. If it's business, whether it's we're all human at the end of the day, we're not robots. So if you can build a relationship, if you research the big coaches or the well-known coaches such as Mike Krzyzewski, have trouble spitting that out each time, and Popovich, each one actually care about their players, whether they learn. A famous one was with Greg Popovich with Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan had his dad owned a car mechanical business, and so Tim Duncan had a interest in cars. So Popovich had no prior experience in car or mechanics, but he researched a bit about him just enough to have a conversation with and actually feel like he knew what he was talking about. And from then, Tim Duncan, Popovich, if you follow the NBA, they had a very long and prosperous relationship and career together, to now as an assistant coach. So player relationships are a huge one. Social cohesion. Everyone has a mutual interest in common. A mutual goal is the first step. And then they actually try to like one another, learn to communicate with one another, because each person has different modes of communication. You want to make everyone feel accepted in that front. Everyone has a contribution to it. And so there's a great book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It covers, it's not basketball or sport related, but how to deal with people. And people have such a big role in sport, obviously. Without people, there would be nothing. And so there's one thing learning all the ins and outs of a basketball, I think. But the people part of it is extremely important. So I'd highly recommend How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie. One of the outlines for him is to minimize criticism and use positivity and sense. The next strategy could be to increase responsibility of the captaincy. So give the captaincy more responsibility, such as run warm up and warm down, be more encouraging and confident, setting by example, and don't favor teammates over other teammates. You'd want to pick a selfless, not necessarily the best player, but usually sometimes the best player can be the best example on that front. But someone that understands or is unbiased to the other teams. Each person, obviously, there's so many variations, will provide something different as a captain. In essence, it's providing a role for each member and putting the most adequate person as the captain that each person respects and mutually votes from the coaches and other players. And then it helps the coach as well be an extra reinforcement within amongst the players as well, which would be beneficial in the long run, keeping the mutual goal on track. Management of strategies. You want to take out all negative behaviors such as name calling, provide constructive criticism and support. But criticism's a funny one. It's a fine line between negatively criticizing someone and having a negative effect, or as we call it, constructively criticizing. How do you tell the difference? So according to the How to Win Friends and Influence People, it's don't criticize or condemn or complain to people, right? Rather than use positivity, be genuine to someone and try to find the positive of an action, right? Even if it has a negative result. So for instance, begin with praise and honest appreciation and call attention to people's mistakes indirectly. Talk about your own mistakes before criticizing the other person. Ask questions instead of giving direct orders. I found this is a great one. A player usually knows the mistake they've made without you screaming them down or whatever. and ask them a question, sit them on the sideline or after a game or at training and ask them what they did. And a lot of the time they seem to. And then it sinks in for them because they answer their own question without you barking orders, which they could automatically deflect. And praise the slightest improvement. Praise every improvement. Give the other person a fine reputation to live up to. Use encouragement. Make the fault seem easy to correct. Make the other person happy about doing the thing you suggest. It's tougher as a coach and one to not lose it and try and be an extension of you on the court and players not listening or not as you imagined, and it becomes extremely frustrating. But it takes practice of using those. Once again, I'd highly recommend reading How to Win Friends and Influence People. Back to management of strategies is positive self-talk, looking at the positive things that they did despite losing. Put more effort in and increase encouragement and support. After games, talk about what they did do well and what they didn't do well and what they need to do better as a team. So using this, the predicted outcomes would be a better playing environment, have more confidence in themselves and each other, perform better, which will boost confidence, improve engagement and attendance, improves productivity and efficiency, and gain future relationships outside of the game. Which in turn, the relationships, once again coming back to that, is a few players might not have much longer, or they're in juniors and they don't intend of making it past top age 18s or even 16s for that fact. But hey, if they can make a friend or two that they see outside of basketball, then you've made a greater impact on the kids' lives than what you have using basketball as a disguise, you could say. But hey, the kid or the person benefits from that, which, hey, that's what essentially we're there to coach. The cons, though, would be strategies may not work and will make them despise each other even more. The athletes may have no patience. The athletes may not want to change. And performance may not improve. Leads to loss of faith in the coach, and the athletes won't show up and won't put the required effort in. It's quite a well-known saying that it's not the contents of the message that matters, it's the delivery of the message that greatest impact. So, therefore, it's not the actual content or the message you're delivering to the player or athlete. It's, in fact, how you deliver it is the most important part. The studies have proven that, and as well as physical experience through successful coaches have also proven that as well. So from the coaching perspective, the athletes, the aim and goals, the athletes being more confident in themselves and their teammates. They become motivated and inspired. Athletes being satisfied with their role in the team. Bringing outside source to help. Occasionally bringing in a new voice isn't the worst thing in the world if you obviously respect and think they know what they're doing. A new voice occasionally or an approach can help mix things up. And hey, as coaches, we can become stagnant, or players become stagnant as well. Whether you're on the court and you're just in the same rhythm all the time or the same few drills, sometimes it's stepping aside and letting someone take training. It's not the end of the world. And hey, it could bring a lot more creativity and just freshness to the team. Cooperative approach and collaboration. Introduce the changes bit by bit. If you come in and try and change everything at once, you're probably going to get quite a bit of whiplash, and at younger levels, parents complaining and so on. So you just want to change a little bit by little bit, and people will get used to it rather than shock. Listen to what the players have to say and use their input in the strategies. Once again, the How to Win Friends and Influence People is one of his biggest things is to listen. Be a good listener. Encourage others to talk about themselves. Being a good listener, a lot of people or coaches can get, we use a voice a lot. So is to listen. Sometimes you don't need to say and ask questions. Listen and ask questions. And sometimes that can be the best approach. And quite often the player just wants to vent or just wants some advice. And half the time they can answer their own question. So be cooperative on that. And that'll also filter down to the rest of the players. Reshape their values, implemented into life outside of sport to improve them as a person. Sport is just a wagon or a mode of transport to teach the player. We use either basketball in this case of teaching a bit. Try and teach them stuff that will apply just out of sport. Like only a few percentage of the players will make a high level, whether it's youth league, NBL 1 or NBL, NBA, college, whatever it might be. But if you can help, if you got them for 6 months, you got them for a year, you got them for 2 years, you want to try and help them grow as a player, and how can you do that? So I want to hear your feedback for today. Has it been helpful or has it not? How would you deal with this situation? I want to hear your feedback on communication on and off the court. Luckily enough, though, we're going to be providing resources over the next 3 weeks on this topic with our three guests. They'll be able to provide an insight to this situation and this topic of on and off court communication, which will be beneficial for us. I'll be learning, and hopefully you guys can learn something as well in the process. Now we're up to the fire away questions, which is a little bit of lightheartedness. People have sent in questions from our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and so on, directed at me, the business, or basketball-related questions. I'll read the questions and hopefully give you an answer on that. So the first question is sent in by Ben. What's the actual rule about when you jump for a jump shot and then bounce midair when you're going to get blocked? I've seen it happen heaps, and it's called for a travel sometimes and sometimes not. His example he used was, so I go for a three, I'm midway in the air, and I think I'm going to get blocked. So I throw the ball down to a dribble and before my feet land. Well, in fact, Ben, the FIBA rules claim that once you leave the ground, even on a catch, and you have not released the ball completely, so for a shot or a pass, and you land and or bounce, it is considered a travel. If you jump and 1 foot is still on the ground, so whether it's a toe or not, and the other foot is in the air and you throw the ball down, then it is not required, is a travel, because technically you never left the ground. The next question, hopefully that helps you there, Ben. Next question was, Nick, what's your go-to one-on-one move? Well, in my extensive basketball career, most of the time I'd lose the ball and dribble it off my feet, but it would be just a hesitation crossover. Keep it simple. And keep it simple, stupid, and that's what it'd be. Hopefully I could be a little bit quick to get past them or whatever, and then if they doesn't work, I'm kind of screwed and need to pass the ball off. So that's my nifty little move, or between the leg behind the back and probably get nowhere would also be my secondary move on that. Also sent in by Krista. I've heard your girlfriend is better at basketball than you. Is that true? In fact, it is. Kara Tassari out there is a much better basketball player than what I am. She is in WNBL and as well as an NBL 1 superstar. I have nothing on her, as I just play local basketball now. Also, Senim, do you think it's important to get official qualifications for coaching / sport? Yes and no. I think official qualifications advantageous. Obviously, I've got the association coaching and club coaching and a degree now. The degree is very specific or can be very broad. It definitely helps if you're interested in the area and want to strive for it. The Bas Victoria accreditations are very good, and plus all the resources, clinics and that they provide, also very good online, as well as when obviously the COVID thing. Gain experience sort of thing, or other people's perspective. In regards to official qualifications, it'll help you if you wish to climb the ladder and apply for jobs for sure, or at least I hope it thinks so. Do you think your degree is relevant / advantageous for coaching? I think my degree is. I hope so at least, because I've done it now and hopefully it is relevant and becomes benefit, but it has from everything it covers, from psychology to physiology to kinesiology, which can be a little overkill when coaching junior basketball if you start laboring on about what muscles it's using or what energy systems are in play at the moment and so on and so forth. They glaze over and go, yeah, whatever, what's next? So it does help in certain situations, and especially understanding what other people are talking about. And also there's a couple regarding my hairline. One saying, is your hairline running away or is it from coaching? And where did my hair go? Well, take pride in styling my hair. Now it's all shaved off. I hope it's from coaching, or I guess it's the stress from university or coaching. One or the other on that. So thanks, Aiden and Rob, for those inputs on that as well. Once again, that'll wrap up the podcast for today. So our topic of the month is communication, on-court and off-court communication. breakdown. So we're going to try and talk to the next few guests, and that's going to be one of the topics we're going to talk about, continue talking about their journey in basketball, and then we're going to use their experience, or hopefully they share and so on, about their communication breakdown on that. And that'll provide a bit more substance to the podcast and another resource for you guys, coaches out there, as just thirsting for information as I am as well. So we can learn together on this. I also would love to hear your feedback on social media, or send me, email me what you'd want to hear next, or any guests if you'd like to come on the show. I'd really love to hear your feedback for the show to make this show better place to learn, as well as feedback for you guys. Give us a thumbs up on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. That would be amazing. You can contact us on Facebook at LockedInBasketball, Instagram, LockedInBasketball once again, and website www.LockedInBasketball.com.au, or email me directly, alex.wilson@LockedInBasketball.com.au. Thank you, and hope to see you next week.